Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
We talk about precious objects. We talk about precious people. We talk about precious possessions. Things that we value highly are precious to us. Peter uses in his two letters six precious things. He talks about six precious, valued, highly honored, highly thought of, valuable things. And I want to talk with you tonight about those things as we look through these two letters. First of all, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, rather, verse 6, verse 5 and 6. Ye as living stones are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Because it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Jesus Christ, that elect cornerstone, that elect being, that chief cornerstone, as we'll notice in a moment, is precious. Jesus, the man of Nazareth who lived and walked and breathed the air that you breathed and walked on the ground as you walk and slept as you slept and suffered as you suffer, that precious Jesus who came from our Father and the equality with Him face to face, who came and took upon Him a form of a servant and even lived in a body like yours and mine, that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one of God, the Messiah of the Old Testament, the one who come to save the people of the world. That Jesus is Christ. And Jesus Christ is precious. He's precious to us. He's valuable to us. He means a great deal to us. He's precious because we're believers. And as believers, it may be, in fact, has been the case, that believers in times past have considered Him so precious that they were willing to die for Him. I recall on one occasion that one of the martyrs, shortly after the first century, during the second century, was appealed to by the people who considered him of value. He was a bishop, an elder, and he stood firm for the truth. They appealed to him, just sprinkle a little incense on the altar. Just put a little incense on the altar and say, Kyrios Kaiser, Lord Caesar. Caesar's Lord. Just do that and we'll let you go. We won't hurt you. He said, no. I have one Lord. And my Lord is Jesus the Christ. And He died a horrible death. And many others stood the test of time. There are those who believe, and those who believe, to them it is precious. You see, he that believeth on Him shall not be put to shame. No matter what shame he may have to endure in this life, he will not have to endure shame in the life to come. Because he that confesses the Lord and keeps on confessing the Lord, and he that denies himself and owns the Lord, no matter what the condition or what the situation may be, that same person Jesus will own and Jesus will confess at the last time. Believers then, and to believers, Jesus is precious. Precious enough even to die for. He's a stumbling block, he says, to those who are disbelievers. He's a stumbling block to unbelievers and those who are disobedient. But he's a cornerstone. He's the thing on which everything else exists. He's the thing which ties everything else together. And you know, Jesus Christ is precious, really, because he ties everything together for us. I want to tell you, without Jesus Christ, there is no tying together of life. There's no purpose in life. And when time comes for us to die and we lay and take that last few breaths of air, we may call, as one has done in times past, said, bring me the book. And they said, which book? And he said, there's only one book for a dying man. And I want to suggest to you that there's only one person for the dying man and woman. And that person is Jesus Christ. He's precious. Precious indeed. Precious in life and precious in death. Paul used this figure of this precious cornerstone picture as the thing that ties the spiritual house of God together. In Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 19, he says, "So then we are no more strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom you several buildings fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also you are built together for an habitation of God in the Spirit." Precious because He ties us together. Precious because He gives us a house in which to dwell. Precious because He gives us salvation. Precious because He was willing to die for us. Precious because He was willing to come to this earth even and take upon Him the form of a servant. Precious because He gives us life now, and precious because He gives us life to come. Precious Jesus Christ. Surely we have a precious Christ, don't we? Is He valuable to you? Things that are valuable, we're willing to pay for. Is He valuable to you? Secondly, Peter talks about the precious blood. The precious blood. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, he talks about those who are call upon the Father, God as Father. He says in verse 18, "Knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver and gold from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood." Precious blood, as of a lamb, without blemish, and without spot, even the blood of Christ. You know, our modernistic religious friends round about us are trying to eliminate the blood. I saw one night an expose of Marjo, the Pentecostal holiness revivalist, who now is in movies and is now on That's Incredible, or not That's Incredible. That's Talking to People or something like that. But anyhow, I can't hardly stand him because I know he's a hypocrite through in and throughout. I saw that expose on him. And one of the things that he said that it just really hit me, he says, "I'll tell you what, Christianity is a bloody religion." And he was making fun of it. It is. But not just any blood. Not the blood of bulls and goats, for the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Not my blood. Not the blood of all the martyrs throughout the ages. But one special blood. The precious blood of Jesus shed on the Calvary's cross. That precious blood redeems. It buys back. It's the payment price for man's sins, for your sins, and for mine. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Paul reminds us that we're redeemed with the blood of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, we were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul reminds Titus that we have been washed and cleansed from iniquity. He says, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a people for His own possession, zealous good works." And rightly so. Why shouldn't we be zealous of good works? The precious blood of Jesus has been shed. Is the blood of Jesus precious to you? Is the death of Jesus precious to you? Do we become lackadaisical in our thinking about the blood of Jesus? About the sacrifice of His death on the cross? About the giving of His life? About the writhing and anguish and pain on the cross of Calvary. The precious blood of Jesus. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," said John the Baptist in John 1:29. "And He took away the sins of the world by shedding His blood." The Lamb of God, a perfect Lamb, the perfect sacrifice, who gave His life that we might live. In Acts 20 and verse 28, "The elders at Ephesus are urged to feed the church of the Lord which He purchased with His own blood." And Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and loosed us from our sins by His blood." The King James says, "washed us from His sins." And that's the same thing. It means to separate sins from our souls. The blood of Jesus looses and washes and cleanses our sin. And it's the only thing that can. How precious is the blood of Jesus to you? Is it precious enough that you're willing to meet and wash your sins away in the blood of the Lamb in burying the old man and being raised to walk in newness of life? Have you forgotten that you've met Jesus in the watery grave of baptism, that it's in the death that Jesus shed His blood, and it's in that death to the old life and faith in God that we meet the blood of Jesus in baptism? That the blood of Christ is applied to our hearts and our lives, and we're raised then through faith to walk in the newness of life. Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. And then look also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. "And unto whom coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with God elect and precious." When God views Jesus, He sees Him as precious. These first two things we've been talking about are the way we view Him. Believers see the Christ as precious. Disbelievers see Him as inconsequential. Believers see the blood of Jesus as precious. Those who are disobedient and those who do not believe see it ridiculously. When God sees Jesus, He sees an elect, precious, living stone on which the spiritual house of God and the spiritual foundation of God has been predicted from the very beginning of time. It was decided of God when man sinned that He would, through Jesus Christ, bring all men to salvation in and through Him. And then that living stone provides the foundation on which all those who are righteous are built. If you look at this passage that's continued on down in verse 6, 7, and 8, you find that it's quotations from Isaiah 28, verse 16. Verse 7 is from Psalm 118 and 22. And verse 8 is from Isaiah 8 and 14. This stone, this living stone, this cornerstone, this foundation stone is that which on which God chose to build Christianity. God chose to build His people. A people that were once no people, but now are the people of God. The people who were without mercy, but now have obtained mercy in Christ Jesus. Christ is a living stone. He's not inert, lifeless, like the stones of the earth, but a living stone. He's a stone of energy, vitality, and life. And having been raised from the dead, He dies no more. And being alive, He brings life to His people, to His followers. For He is the only foundation on which the living stones, which are we, are built. The combination, of course, of the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone, the living stone, and then us as living stones are built upon that, and we thus make up the spiritual house of God, the temple in which God's spirits dwell. Our spirit dwells. Yes, the precious stone, the precious living stone that God sent for men. And then there is precious faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Peter says, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us in the righteousness of God and the Savior Jesus Christ." A precious faith. Is your faith precious to you? What would you be without your faith? I'd hate to think about what I'd be without my faith. I tell you where I was headed. I was headed in the wrong direction. And had not been for someone who cared enough to remind me of my faith, of instill again within my heart and mind the sensitivity that renewed my faith. I don't know where I'd be tonight, but I guarantee I wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be proclaiming His Word. And I wouldn't be talking about the preciousness of Christ. I wouldn't be talking about the preciousness of faith. I might be talking about the preciousness of gold or money or material things, but not the preciousness of faith. Faith is precious because it's essential to salvation. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It's precious because it's essential. When Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." John 8 and 24. That makes it precious, doesn't it? It's precious because it's essential. Without it, there is no hope. Without it, there is no hope for me, and without it, there is no hope for you. If you don't have faith, if you don't have the kind of faith that God wants you to have, if you don't have the kind of trust that God expects of you, then it's not a precious thing to you. But if you do, it's precious. How precious was the faith of the woman who worked her way through the crowd with an issue of blood and had spent all of her earnings on those physicians who tried to heal her but couldn't heal her? How precious was her faith when she reached out and said, "If I can just touch the hem of His garment, He can heal me." How precious was it when that issue of blood was closed up and she was healed? How precious was it? Pretty precious. How precious was it when you reached out in the same way with hands filled with sin, made dirty by your defilement and sin and enslavement of sin, and reached out and said, "Oh, Lord, save me. Save me Your way." How precious was it? Have you forgotten how precious your faith is? Let us never forget how precious our faith is. And remember, when we talk about faith, we talk about the objective faith. How precious is this faith? How precious is Christianity? Just how precious is this, the faith, the objective rule of faith and practice to you? How precious is the truth? How precious is the Word of God, which results or brings faith? Romans 10 and 17. How precious is it? How precious is this faith? And then how precious is your individual faith, your subjective faith, your own acceptance of this as your rule of faith and practice? How precious is it? Think how precious it is if you had never known Jesus and never known the Son of God. Think what it would be like if you had been over someplace in some foreign place where the name of Christ had never been spoken in your hearing. And then one day, a missionary came and talked with you about salvation in Christ Jesus. How precious would your faith be? Let's not forget, my friends, that's the same situation we were in. And that's the same situation we may be in tonight if you have not accepted Jesus Christ in faith. Precious faith. And then he talks about a precious trial of your faith. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, ye have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire, may be found in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." He says that the trial, the testing of your faith is precious in itself. The proof of your faith. Those little things that we have to go through each day, you know, that we think are such big things. Those little old details, you know, that we have to take care of. And those little things that we ought not to do because of our influence, and that we just choose not to do because of our love for others. And that we choose not to involve ourselves in activities which could bring reproach and shame upon the Lord's church. Those are little trials, but that's not really the testing he's talking about. That's not necessarily the proof of our faith. It may be the case, he says, if need be, verse 6, "though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to the test." It may be the case that one of these days, our country may be in such a situation that we could be in danger of someone walking in that back door and saying, "All right, everyone line up, and anyone who will not deny Jesus will be shot." I heard a story one time about that taking place. And about everyone in that building, but 10 people, left. And they cocked their guns and said, "Are you sure you believe in Jesus? Are you ready to die for Him?" And they all confessed that they did. And they laid their guns down and embraced them and said, "We also are believers, but we were afraid the others were not." Would you pass the test? How precious is the proof of our faith when we go through trial for Jesus, when we have to put up with things for Jesus, when we have to endure for Jesus. How precious it is that we know we stand firm. I tell you the truth, I don't know how firmly I'd stand, because I've really never been put to the test like that. I've had other tests, but not like that. And I hope and pray, as God being my helper, that I could stand, and that that proof would be more precious than gold. Yea, because it would result in much more than gold. A verification of our faith is precious, he says. Now, and last of all, there are those precious promises. Precious promises. Are the promises of God valuable to you? In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, Peter says, "Whereby He hath granted unto us His precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust." The great and precious promises of Jesus. Notice that. The precious and the great promises of Jesus. That through these promises of God in Christ Jesus, these exceedingly great precious promises, he says, we are partakers of the divine nature. They are exceedingly great because they include forgiveness, peace, eternal life, a share in the divine nature, heaven itself. We have escaped corruption. That's one of the promises of God. Corruption is in the world and it operates through lust, he says. And only those who have escaped are partakers of the divine nature. He goes on to say in verse 5, "Yea, and for this very cause," in other words, because of the preciousness of your promises, the preciousness of the promises that God has given to you, because you have all these great and exceedingly great and precious promises, then do this. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, patience. Patience, godliness. And godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten. Listen. Having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. That's what happens so frequently. The promises are so precious to us at first, and then we have a tendency to forget. Forgetting the cleansing of our old sins. Christ is very precious to us and to God. His blood is very precious because it cleanses us and washes us and makes us white as snow. Revelation 7 and verse 14. Christ is a precious stone because He makes a perfect and solid cornerstone to His spiritual house. Without Him, nothing would stand. Our faith is precious to us because it is precious to God, and we cannot be pleasing to Him without it. The trial of our faith, the proof of our faith, can be more precious than all the gold of the world because it proves our faith to be true, and our faith will stand the test of time and of tribulation. Precious are the promises of God because they bring us hope. The hope of abundant life now and the hope of eternal life to come. Precious. Is Jesus precious to you? Is His blood precious to you? Is the living house which He's built precious to you? Is your faith precious to you? Is the proof of your faith precious to you? Are the promises of God precious to you? If they are, and you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I urge you to obey the gospel. And if you're here tonight and you've gone astray, I urge you to come home to demonstrate the preciousness of these things, as Peter mentioned.